Three, two, one. That was such a good clap sync. Mm. Such a good clap sync. I tried to get some students to do a clap sync once for a project, and it sounded like they were applauding. Oh. It was rough. You should move that down. That's going to drive me mad. No, you're a little... So let's address the camera. Hey, welcome back to the Movie Rubric. I'm Timothy McDaniel.
Cole Wright.
Jonah Jovi.
And we have only done one other video one before, and it was Oppenheimer. We used a GoPro to film it. It was what it was. Oh, that is not supposed to be like that. Wow. Pause.
Oops.
We're off to a great start.
This is great. This is good content.
This is good content.
So
should we start over?
Nope.
No, I'll just edit this.
Okay.
We're doing it live.
Do it live.
Live. How are you guys doing?
I was planning on editing it out, but yeah, we can leave that in there. All right. I have a bit more. There we go. It's not shaking now. Or was I? Oh, I bought a new 360 camera. I'm doing good. So we're going to set it up, and then this should allow you, the viewer, I'm going to upload it to YouTube, and if I understand it correctly, to move around as you see fit, point the camera at your favorite or least favorite personality.
And see if we can get any quality memes out of this.
Absolutely. Yeah. Did any of your grandparents ever tell you had a face made for radio when you were growing up? Because mine did. So every time we do a video one of these, I'm just constantly reminded. I guess it was my uncle who said that. So
now my family, you know, loves me. So
yeah, I think my uncle loved me. Yeah, I know he loved me. He was just a goofball. All right. Well, hey, today we are going to be talking about Deadpool and Wolverine, or D3, the Mighty Ducks 3.
There's already a Mighty Ducks 3, though.
Yeah, you're right. I guess that joke kind of falls flat. So this is D3, Deadpool and Wolverine. We're going to talk about the good, the bad, our thoughts on it. But before that, I want to talk about a spoiler-free discussion and whether or not people should go see this movie. I'm going to jump right out of the gate. I'm going to give it two thumbs up. I'm going to skip all the pretense because it's really hard to talk about this movie spoiler-free.
Oh, it's such a good movie. Like, I legit, like, have not felt the joy of, like, watching a Marvel movie like this since Guardians 3, Spider-Verse, probably. So it's been about a year.
When did Guardians? I want three.
That was last spring, I think.
Yeah, I think last spring.
It's been over a year.
A little over a year ago.
So May 5th, 2023. Okay, so a little over a year ago. Yeah, I would agree. Like,
this is a Marvel movie that I didn't even leave, you know. Obviously, we've seen some stinkers, and we've seen some just mid-Marvel movies. This one was a banger.
It was
really
good.
Would even make a case being great, even within, the golden era of Marvel movies, that 2008 to 2019 era.
I would agree. So, are you also two thumbs up, for the record?
Two thumbs up.
Jonah, how many thumbs are you?
I'm going to do two thumbs up also. This was a blast. A lot of fun. It was a lot of fan service, which isn't, in this case, I thought was a really good thing.
Yeah.
I give it two thumbs up. I mean, it was a ton of fun, I thought.
Yeah. I thought it was.
I had a smile on my face about pretty much the entire time.
It was one of the funniest movies I've seen in a hot second. Going back to your thing, you said it's the best Marvel movie since Guardians 3, which doesn't sound like that long. A year ago is not that long, but the rate at which Marvel's been churning out
just random stuff.
Content that I haven't loved that feels longer.
And before that, I mean, it's, you know, there's another streak of kind of
really,
stuff.
Really, I would even argue,
know?
I would put this, honestly, above Guardians 3 where I would like it, even though I love Guardians 3.
Yeah. I'll have to think about that, but I mean, that's not a crazy take.
Really, for me, since...
We're teasing what is going to be the bracket here in a bit. I'm guessing these two are going to be near each other in the bracket somewhere.
No, but this gave me some No Way Home energy, even though, for me, No Way Home being my favorite Marvel movie. It gave me that kind of vibe, with some of the, callbacks and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Spoilers.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I was biting my Cole.
I didn't say what they were.
You didn't say it. I probably ruined what it was by hinting. Yes, there's a lot.
Sorry, I said fan service, but I mean.
No, fan service. Yeah. No, yeah. We're going to quickly barrel past this. If you've seen the movie, you know what we're trying to beat around the bush around. The trailers, I went back and watched some trailers. Afterwards, I don't watch movie trailers ever if I know I'm going to go see the movie. The trailers did a good job masking what this movie was about.
Yeah.
This is one I would have not felt bad had I seen the trailers.
Yeah, because really advance. From all I've seen was, are we in the spoiler free?
Not quite. There's one more thing I want to address, but finish your thought.
The trailer wise, I mean, everyone's seen like the screenshots of like them walking through the desert area, mm-hmm. them walking around the corner in the city, mm-hmm. that kind of thing. Those were like the two iconic shots from this, like the trailers.
Yeah.
There was like one thing they showed in the trailers. I'm going to say what it was, but they had a pretty good reason for it. I guess we can talk about it later, but I thought it was fair.
Okay. But yeah, the only thing I wanted to address while we're in the spoiler-free part is I saw a lot of people, I want to use the word trashing, but I don't use the word trashing. A lot of people kind of just dumping on this movie, be like, it's overhyped, it's poop humor, it's stupid, it's fan service, it's nothing but fan service. Everyone who likes this movie is just like a toddler. I've seen a lot of that rhetoric online. Ignore those people. I shared with Cole on the way home, I wish more companies would just have fun with their IPs. Make non-canon throwaway just junk food like what this movie did. Because this was like superhero junk food.
Yeah.
It was super good. So ignore those people. The movie was great in my opinion. If you guys don't have anything to add, we can move on to the spoiler discussion.
Yeah.
I think that's all, guys. Okay. It's fun.
If we're going to do the video, I need to get like a big like button I can hit. The lights turn red. Yeah, yeah. Just get like a klaxon and go.
You know, that'd be funny, but you know. That requires effort.
That requires effort, and we don't want effort around here.
We do the bare minimum around here.
Absolutely. That's the name of should be the name of our next podcast.
Bare minimum.
Bare minimum effort.
Yeah.
That's all what right. The last podcast was that we had was the bare minimum.
Oh, that was
yeah, that's a good that whatever's good time.
Beneath bare minimum. Well, hey, so this is gonna be a spoiler conversation about the movie now. So if you haven't seen it, you don't want to be spoiled, go watch it. Man, I loved all of the time travel alternate dimension nonsense that this movie offered.
Yeah.
But it offered it in the best way. It wasn't in the way of like Loki or, gosh, what was the other one I watched with Kang or Ant-Man? It wasn't in the way of those where I have to like consult Reddit for a map of what universe we're in.
Like, how for this? This is the one like I just took it at face value. Like, you know what? Sure.
You're just on for the ride.
Yeah.
You don't have to think about it too much.
And it worked.
Yeah.
It worked so good.
Since we're in the spoiler, all these, cameos from. Heroes we have not seen in quite a hot second.
Very hot second.
Yep.
It was awesome, though.
It was so good, because even though, you know...
Even
though, like, you know, I'm going to bring up the Chris Evans thing. Yes. That was the biggest one.
Oh, I did not expect that at all.
Yeah,
that
was really I was good. Like, I gasped a little bit. I kind of got, you know, a little, like, I don't know, a little emotional. I'm like, it's Captain America. I think, like, I'm like, flame on, we're doing this.
Oh, okay. So good.
I'm here for it though. Like,
and then I was like, "Is he just tagging along for the movie?" Because they like take him away in the car and he's talking to him. Like, is he just hanging out now?
Like, we getting Chris Evans this whole movie? And they're like, "Oh, wait.
Yeah." I was like, I kind of figured that was coming eventually, but
that's some of the hardest I've laughed in a movie.
Yeah.
In a very long
like
time.
They did it. They did the thing that they've been joking about since Multiverse of Madness.
Oh, it was good. So if you haven't seen it, Chris Evans was teased. It was teased like he was Captain America, and then right when you think he's going to say something super heroic or patriotic, he turns out to be original Fantastic Four Human Torch, and that I think set the tone.
Yeah.
For what we were going to get.
So the expectations
for the rest of the movie.
And he yells flame on, and I'm like, okay, even though this movie sucked, the Fantastic Four did, I'm like, you know what? I'm happy to see it.
And then they immediately show us, the guy who absorbs flame from X2. Can't think of his name.
Pyro.
Pyro. We saw the, like, tongue guy. I don't know half the X-Men's name. There's a million and five of them.
I know like the main ones, but like.
Yeah, we immediately saw the frog guy. We saw OG Sabretooth got brought back. Like, and for me from there, I was like, kind of like you said, I'm just going to buckle in and enjoy the ride. And I don't know where this is going, but
yeah.
Buckle in your Honda Odyssey and enjoy the ride.
Yeah, I was like, I don't know. I can't tell if this is making fun of sponsors. It is a sponsor. Is it's both?
I think it was a bit of both.
Yeah.
I feel like
it was funny.
It might have just been like one of those, like, we need a vehicle for this. Who's going to be willing to have their vehicle show up in a Deadpool movie? Because you know it's not going to be.
There's going to clown on them.
Yeah. Like, and it showed in a good light necessarily. So,
Honda Odyssey. The sales are going to go up after this movie.
Yeah.
I almost went and bought a Honda Odyssey right after the movie. I was like, Cole dropped me off at the lot. So, no, it was really good. So, I mean, that brings us, there's a lot of wacky shenanigans in this movie. I want to ask, I usually ask it later on, but I kind of want to jump the gun with it here because there's so many good scenes. What was your guys' favorite scene
in
this movie? Oh, sorry. Favorite cameo in this movie. Not your favorite scene, your favorite cameo in this movie.
Chris Evans was fantastic. Ha 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 ha. But
I wish I had a rim shot here.
You know what? I mean, it's up there for... Did you do a rim shot?
I did, but you can't hear
it. I can't hear it. I don't have my headphones in.
I can hear it on my end, but I don't think you guys can hear it. I feel weird being the only one wearing headphones. I like to address. I want to hear and make sure we sound okay. And then these two doofuses decided not to wear headphones today, so that's where we're
at. Yeah, well, my earbuds, the extension wasn't long enough, and I didn't want to move the mixer. I didn't want to rearrange things. We were already there, so it's like, whatever. But, you know, Chris Evans is, I think, is like the obvious choice on that because, well, he's one of the biggest names for, like, the MCU. As far as actor-wise. But I enjoyed seeing Blade in this movie. Especially how, like, they didn't really, like, build up to him, like, being there. He just, like, comes around the corner. There he is. I'm like, oh my gosh, we're doing it.
Yeah. Maybe I should have went first, because you stole mine, because mine was Blade. But, yeah, no, like, Blade, out of nowhere, unexpected. I love the Blade movies. And that scene had a bunch of, like, forgotten Marvel projects as the cameo because like, they were gonna do an X-23 movie and then they didn't. They were gonna do a Gambit movie and then they didn't, and an Elektra movie and they didn't. And then when Blade was there, I was like, that's funny, and I'm so glad that they got him to come back and do this role.
Yeah. He was so good.
Didn't they recast Blade for the new one?
They've been through like five directors.
Wesley Snipes, right?
Yeah, Wesley Snipes.
I feel like I saw something that like they were considering recasting him, and then Ryan Reynolds, he made the comment. He's like, only been one Blade. And then, like, Deadpool looks at the camera and kind of, like, raises an eyebrow. And I was like, did they recast him? And I missed some news, so I didn't know.
Well, they've casted him. It's, I can never say it. Mahershala Ali is going to be him. But, like, the movie's just, like, I think they've had, like, five directors. No one wants to take it. The script's been rewritten, like, seven times.
So they did recast?
He's casted, but no director.
They haven't, like, finished the movie, though.
Gotcha.
Yeah. It's supposed to be in development, but it's going really bad.
Been in development for quite a hot second.
I know I remember when they announced it, I was really looking forward to it, and I'm sad. I thought Wesley Snipes was Blade. Am I making that up?
Yeah, he is.
Okay. Who's the guy that you just said?
In the new one, it's a new guy. It's Mahershala Ali, I think.
So they did or did not?
They did, but the movie hasn't came out yet.
Yeah, okay. The MCU one that's not out yet.
So they did recast him. So I wasn't.
Yes. Okay. The original Blade is Wesley Snipes.
Gotcha. Yes. I knew the original one was. I wasn't.
And the one
sure
in this movie was Wesley Snipes.
But they did recast him too. You don't know how to say his name. I'm not going to make you say it.
I think it's Mahershala Ali.
Okay.
Muhammad Ali is.
That'd be pretty funny. But I'm right there with you. Mine was Blade. Shortly followed by Gambit, and Channing Tatum did phenomenal job as Gambit.
It was good.
I remember when they first
just
announced...
incoherent as ever.
Oh, so good. When they first announced that Channing Tatum was going to be playing Gambit, a lot of people were like, what? Ew, no, he's not going to be able to do Gambit justice. And then they said he was going to do the original like Cajun slang accent, and everyone's like, what? And then if I remember correctly, he's kind of from that area and like has some of that like naturally in his dialect. So I thought he did a great job with it. So I'm right there with you. Blade followed by Gambit. Jonah, what about you?
I think mine's number one's definitely the Human Torch. I just never thought Chris Evans would ever come back to do anything. Yeah. And then doing that was just, I thought that was awesome. And then my second, close second's probably Gambit. Cause like I thought Gambit's really cool. I don't think, has he been in a live action movie before?
No.
No.
I think he has. Yeah.
They
and
were
then,
going to. And
well, hold up. I think they had a Gambit adjacent character in one of the X-Men movies, didn't they?
There's been like how many X-Men movies now have there been?
Yeah. I don't think like Gambit, the way we saw him, appeared. I feel like there was someone who
that
did
was probably, you know, the best version of Gambit we were going to get in the movie.
I vaguely remember a guy who threw cards.
Yeah,
it was like Gambit watered down. Yeah, but I don't know. We've not seen this.
Gambit, guy from Fortnite.
Yes, yeah. Absolutely.
But that was pretty cool. I saw Channing Tatum. He put like a really heartfelt like post. He was like, "I never thought I was gonna be able to be Gambit, and then I got this opportunity. I was so happy." And I was like, "Oh, that's kind of nice little ending for him." Mm-hmm. And then like honorable mention, I thought the Calvarine was pretty funny.
Calvarine
was funny. That was good.
Calvarine.
I guess that would kind of count as a cameo. That was pretty good.
100% a cameo. Yeah. If you don't know, I was talking with Cole about this. Like Deadpool got made, like Marvel didn't want to do it. They were like, absolutely not. Like it's not going to work. It's not going to work as an R-rated movie. Ryan Reynolds shot a bunch of test footage and then leaked it.
Yeah.
According to him, like online.
Allegedly, in quotation marks. Yeah.
Fans went wild for it and were like, yeah, this is awesome. Please make this a thing. So my theory is that this movie was just Ryan Reynolds trying to plant the seeds
for, to continue for other the people legacy yeah. of Wolverine.
So that he could actually be Marvel Jesus, Ryan Reynolds. Not Deadpool, Ryan Reynolds. Like, yeah. By maybe giving us Gambit, because people are going to watch. I've already seen people watching this movie being like, okay, but like, this guy's really cool. I'd love a movie
about him, yeah,
featuring this guy. And then like people have like, you know what? Henry Cavill's Wolverine looked good. It's like, cool. Let's yeah. do it. So I wonder if like people are going to use this movie to make future casting decisions down the line at Marvel.
Yeah.
Testing the waters a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, this is a prime example of Ryan Reynolds knows how to do Marvel better than Disney knows how to do Marvel.
Yeah.
He knows what the fans want. He knows.
We want a good movie.
Like, we just, yeah, we talked about it. Like, make a good movie and then insert the Marvel stuff around it.
Yeah. Like, yeah.
Like you said, use Winter Soldier as the example.
Yeah, I said, like, I think the problem with New Marvel is that they're so focused about the characters and insert this, insert that. And I said, what they need to do is they need to write a good movie, whatever genre they want, skin it to be Marvel. Like, Winter Soldier is a great spy espionage movie, kind of set with, like, some Cold War themes, and then they reskinned it to make it Captain America and Winter Soldier. I wish they'd do some more of that. I think that's kind of why Guardians works. Like, yeah. Guardians is, like, not a super known IP, so it's, like, Space Rangers, kind of. And yeah. then you add the Guardian characters in, and it just...
comedy, some sci-fi, and call it good.
It's a really good movie, yeah. Like, so I think they just need to stop hinging so much on the characters themselves. Make a good movie, and then figure out how those characters can fit within that film.
Yeah.
Yeah. That kind of segues into my next... point here. They did really good at like kind of calling out Marvel on like their low points as of late.
Yeah, that was funny.
I'm like, good. You know what? They deserve it because they've have such. And I get it. It doesn't hinder the legacy of what they originally did.
Mm-hmm.
But right now, they aren't looking good. Marvel's. No. You know, it's kind of sad to watch because like it's like you watch an athlete in their prime dominate, be you know banger after banger. Just being great, and then you see them start getting old, and then they're not as good as they once were, and then it's just really sad to watch.
I'm not as good as I want. That's
and then and then he's, then Michael Jordan's playing for the Wizards. That whole thing.
Oh, they're bringing back RDJ, so Marvel saved.
Yeah,
maybe boy. Robert Downey Jr. is going to be Marvel Jesus.
He might. Like, listen, they are throwing out. They're throwing out like everything. They're doing what Doctor Who did with David Tennant. Like,
yes, exact same.
They're
situation.
Like, hey, we're at a low point. We need people to be interested. Deadpool, get out there. And we're going to throw all these cameos in there. Chris Evans, get in there. RDJ, get in there.
Yeah, it works, though. Very, it works. Very desperate. A very desperate move.
They are throwing the Hail Mary here to get.
You know, I kind of feel I had a pang today as I was driving to the high school to get some work done. I had a pang of like kind of like sadness because I feel bad for the people who are in the new Fantastic Four movie. I don't know a single cast member who's in the new Fantastic Four movie.
Is Krasinski not in it?
I don't know.
Do you not want
to
know?
I don't care to know.
Oh, okay. Is it Pedro?
Pedro Pascal is Fantastic. Is.
Okay, so yeah. Good for that. I, being like a normie who tries to, or I guess it's not normal, someone who tries to avoid spoilers and avoid things. Normally I find out who's playing what though.
Yeah.
I realized I hadn't figured out who was playing what new characters in Fantastic Four, but I know Robert Downey Jr. is Dr. Doom and I felt kind of bad. It's like any breakout role. That those people, maybe they had like a new and up and comer that was going to be like, this is my moment to shine, is now just going to be overshadowed by Robert Downey Jr.'s just overbearing charisma. And especially someone like Dr. Doom.
And you're going to see, we're going to get to see like that charisma. Cause we got to see him be a villain in Oppenheimer, Robert Downey Jr.
Yeah.
So he gets to be that, but a super villain?
Yeah. Ooh. I'm here for it.
Yeah. He can be so good.
Any other, like, awesome, honorable, mentionable cameos you guys would like to drop before I move on?
Well, I was talking about earlier with the...
Why Thor crying?
That was funny. that was good, too.
We don't know.
Yeah, why Thor crying?
That's just a future. Maybe don't worry
gonna
about it.
Be Secret War Avengers.
Oh, my gosh. If they tie it back to that, it's the biggest, like...
Biggest payoff ever.
Like they did it. Like over the years.
They have to. I feel like they have to.
It's already set
like,
up.
The writers working on Secret Wars watch this movie like, crap, we have to add that in.
Yeah. Like, call up Hemsworth, get him in here.
We gotta pay that off. But I was gonna say, the one they showed in the trailer in the last trailer, it came out like a week before the movie came out. At the end of it, X-23 was in it, but then they came out and said, we just really wanted her to be able to be at the premiere. So we just like, and if she was at the premiere, people would be like, well, what's she doing here? So she was in the trailers. I was like, that's fair, I guess, you know.
It's fair.
That's not the biggest one, you know.
It's fair to a degree, but also like, having, what's her name? We looked it up the other day at Colton when we were driving home. Having her there because she's like friends with Hugh Jackman could have worked. Been like,
that's true. Yeah. I was like, oh, yeah.
Yeah,
like,
they didn't have playing. To show yeah. that.
She was in the last true. One.
Yeah. They could have played it off. Yeah.
Like, so, I'm pretty sure they had the other Spider-Man go to the premiere of No Way Home.
They snuck him
oh,
in.
Oh, yeah.
Did they sneak him in?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think they saw pictures of him yeah. there.
Yeah. Yeah,
like, but yeah, that makes
Tobey
sense.
Maguire took that seriously. They filmed that, and you didn't see him till the movie came out. He went into hiding.
Yeah.
No Way Home, and now this movie, to a degree, have given me hope that we can keep secrets again, because for a while we couldn't keep secrets.
Yeah. Oh, Mark Ruffalo.
Mark Ruffalo.
Oh, yeah.
The problem with Mark Ruffalo is that he just, like, exuded, in that particular instance, like, sweet old man energy. Like, yeah. You don't want to yell at him. Are you familiar with the story?
This is when he goes, everybody dies. So that one?
Well, not even that. I actually... My hot take is I don't think that's his fault. No, this one was Thor Love and Thunder?
Or Ragnarok?
Ragnarok. Thor Ragnarok. Ragnarok. Mark Ruffalo was live streaming on Instagram. He's going live to his followers. He's like, yeah, getting ready to see Thor Ragnarok. Come see it. Blah, 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 blah. Thank you for the... Blah, 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 blah. Put his phone in the cup holder and forgot to end the live stream.
Oh.
He live streamed like
the whole first
20
like,
to 30 minutes of the movie before people came in and took his phone
from
him.
What an old man, dang.
That's what I said. It just feels like sweet old man.
I look at Mark Ruffalo. I can't be mad at him.
For that one... If I was on a talk show and I wanted to throw the audience off the scent, I would make the joke everyone dies.
Yeah.
Because that's a pretty
technically true.
Common
like,
joke
yeah.
to
say. Cheadle didn't sell it well. He's like dude.
Dude.
Yeah.
Dude.
Like, that's a yeah. pretty normal joke to make. But what gave it away was when Don Cheadle went, dude. And like, and even then I was like, okay, well, maybe Cheadle's in on the joke too.
Yeah.
It wasn't until Marvel started trying to run damage control that I started to be like, now, hold up a minute.
Does everybody die?
Like, if yeah. they just played it off, like, I don't think anyone would have.
Yeah. Have you seen the, I know we're kind of off topic, but have you seen the Tom Holland in-game poster spoiler? This one isn't as bad, but it was just, he was, like, live stream on Instagram, and he was like, I just got a box from Marvel, like, some, like, press stuff. And then he opens it up, and it wasn't that big of a deal, just a poster with, like, the Avengers A on it. Didn't have the title or anything, but he opens it like this, like the camera's like there, and then on the back of the poster it says not for public release, and then he goes wow, and then he turns and shows everybody, and then he goes because he's on the back of it, and he goes oh, and he looks at he like, just for the thing, he ends the live stream.
I wonder if Marvel did that on purpose.
As I say, it's almost comical. It's like giant letters.
You
not
can't
for
make
public
that
release.
Stuff.
That might have been fake, but
that's
it was
really
funny
yeah. though. Well, they apparently, I don't know how true it is. He claims that they gave him like multiple fake scripts.
Ooh.
Yeah. And had him shoot multiple scenes. I don't know how true that is.
And then makes sense. One,
and yeah, and then
get him off the scent
because they didn't want him to know what the plot was going to be because they were worried he was going to spoil it. He spoiled. I forgot. What
Tom Holland just can't keep his mouth shut. That's the
yeah,
thing.
What like, was his ever. Big spoiler moment? Because he had something where he like ruined a movie and everyone like freaked out.
He's done quite a few. Did he do Infinity War?
I'm trying to think if
he
did.
He died.
Yeah. Did he? He didn't ruin No Way Home.
I'm trying to think. I do remember you like. That happening, I can't remember
yeah,
what it was.
I can't remember, like, I remember Mark Ruffalo's.
I mean,
yeah.
Tom Holland, I think, is on the list with Ruffalo, like, notorious, like, you don't tell him anything, and you don't let him do any interviews.
Don't do what he wants, yeah. Maybe it was something like he said something about Far From Home before everyone knew he was coming back or something,
yeah.
for sure.
Something like I googled, that. Like, what did Tom Holland spoil, and everyone's just talking about how it's like a marketing gag. It's not, the headlines aren't naming anything. Either way, what was my question was there any other cameos that
yeah,
you guys
yeah.
wanted to, like, that... You think deserve an honorable mention because there was a ton in this movie.
I mean, X-23 was cool.
I didn't even know there was an Elektra movie until this movie came out. I was like, was that from something? I was like, there's an Elektra movie.
Canned Elektra movie.
Yeah.
Supposed to be somewhat based on the original Elektra, but I think they were going to tie it in to the new Daredevil.
Hoping we were going to get the original Daredevil make a comeback.
Oh, Ben Affleck.
Surprised they didn't,
yeah.
honestly, yeah. All right, well, hey, that takes me into like my next one. Was there a cameo that you thought, because Jonah, you mentioned tons of fan service. I mentioned how audiences are complaining. Some people are. I think they're just being babies that there's too much fan service. Was there a cameo that you thought was unnecessary, over the line, just like, because that seems to be what some of the discourse is that this is a junk food movie. There's too much fan service. And so my question is at what point does fan service become too much? Did you have a moment like that?
No, I didn't. I think, like you said, this is like a junk food movie, but that's not a bad thing.
Yeah.
That's, you know, it's a movie you can sit down, shut your brain off, enjoy it. We haven't had that in a while.
Yeah.
Everything has to be so cut and dry and serious, and you have to shoehorn the multiverse in and all these plot lines. Like, just let it happen. Let it free flow.
I recently learned about candy salad. where like everyone shows up and brings like a different bag of candy, the trend, and then you dump it in and mix it up. And like this movie was candy salad. Like,
yeah, but it's candy.
Was Ryan Reynolds stirring the pot?
Like, yeah. It does it have a lot of substance? Not really, but no, it's a really. Good time.
I didn't care. It had no substance. I was fine with
like,
it.
We need something. We needed something fun.
Okay, so if we don't have that moment, that does take me into the question I accidentally asked earlier. I read ahead. So I asked what our favorite cameo was. What was your favorite moment? And I wanted to separate these because my favorite moment doesn't revolve around a cameo. So what was your guys' favorite moment in the film?
Oof.
I can go first if I need to.
Yeah, go ahead.
You go first, yeah.
My favorite moment in the film was right before Ryan Reynolds is about to go sacrifice Deadpool. Keep calling him. That's the thing. Ryan Reynolds is Deadpool.
Yeah. Like, I mean, they're one of the same.
Deadpool is Ryan Reynolds. Deadpool's about to go sacrifice himself. And then Wolverine's like, no, I got this. And it's like, blah, 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 blah. And Ryan, Deadpool, this is where it will play in why I keep mixing those up. Deadpool's like, hey, buddy, you're the best Wolverine. Like, you're the best one. And in that scene, I could be wrong. But I kind of felt, because Ryan Reynolds and Hugh Jackman are like BFFs. Mm. Like, they're like the best of bros outside of this film. And in that moment, I didn't feel like it was Deadpool talking to Wolverine in the film. I felt like that was Ryan Reynolds thanking Hugh for coming back and giving Wolverine another send-off.
One more time. Even though Logan was great.
Yeah. I felt like that was the actors talking to each other in the moment. Maybe I'm totally reading into that too much, but that's what I got from that scene. And that was the only time in the scene that I got like, goosebumps. I'm getting them just a little bit now. Thinking about just like all the stuff that led up to that moment and then how goofy this movie was, but we still had that really heartfelt moment in it.
You gotta think, Hugh Jackman has been Wolverine for 24 years now.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Yeah.
Insane.
Crazy amount of time.
Yeah. Well, and then I'll go back to that comment later here. So, okay. So that was my favorite moment. You guys have a... What was your favorite moment?
This whole movie is just... I don't know. How do you just pick one?
Just pick one.
I mean, that's the thing, though.
Throw a dart and just kind of see what movie you land on. Yeah.
Man, I did like the little montage, like when they were showing Deadpool, like when he first got to the where did he go? What was the name of the place that he went? The
TVA.
TVA.
Yeah.
Or it's showing like, hey, you're going to this universe now. It's the MCU, and it's shows all like the
sacred timeline.
The sacred timeline. Yeah. It's like all the classic MCU clips. I'm like, aw. Good old times. Like the good old days.
Notice how they showed very little, if any, from new stuff.
The new stuff.
It was all because
pre-endgame.
Marvel knows. They know what they're doing.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, that was really cool.
Even though they also liked the recurring gag of, you're going to do this till you're 90.
Which, maybe. I figured, like, Hugh would come out and be like, yeah, I'm done. But, like, Kevin Feige said, as of right now, there's no plans to recast Wolverine. So I was like, poor Hugh. Maybe he actually did. Like,
maybe he's like got himself stuck in. Yeah.
My thing is like,
he seems to enjoy himself.
I know Henry Cavill looked good as Wolverine. Would people accept anyone else being Wolverine other than Hugh Jackman since he's been the character for so long?
I think people are open to it at this point.
I think people would accept Cavill. He's one of few. I think there's like Henry Cavill, Danny DeVito. Danny DeVito. Danny DeVito would be awesome. No, I think fans love Henry Cavill, and I think one of the reasons they love him is his attention to detail and respect for IP. Yeah. Like when he was
a great Superman.
He's a big nerd.
He's a huge nerd. Like his respect for everything that he gets involved in. You'll regularly, when he was working on The Witcher, you'll regularly read interviews where cast people said that he would carry around his personal copies of the books on the set and like correct things.
Yeah.
And that's eventually what kind of ended up, I think, based off of rumors, because he's a good guy and he's never outright just like been like, I hate these guys. Mm-hmm. But it seems like the reason he left is because he didn't feel like they were staying true to what the Witcher show should be. So I think that he's earned respect of audiences. I think Cavill would be a good...
Yeah, I mean, he looked good. He said it before, like when Deadpool was walking up to him, he goes, man, this guy's the whole package. He's like really hyping him up, like Cavalrine.
Oh, yeah.
They've thrown around Daniel Radcliffe, too, as a fan cast.
No.
No.
You don't like that one?
No.
No.
Give him some mutton chops and the hair.
That's terrible.
You know? You don't like that one?
No. Maybe it's just because I'm thinking see it. Of
Harry Potter.
Harry Potter Harry with claws, but...
That's terrible.
You don't like that one? I mean, I could see it. I like Cavill more.
I think
Daniel Radcliffe. I misspelled Radcliffe as Wolverine. It popped up. What?
It's a big one. It's him and Cavill are the biggest ones I've heard.
It better be Cavill then if they're already doing it.
I'm down for a shorty. Okay, well, hang on. That sounds like I'm talking about a girl. I'm down for a short guy to do it.
No, I'm going to turn this so that the potential audience
he's
can
too
watch.
He's a little too pretty in that
he's,
one.
Yeah, he's a pretty boy.
Yeah, he's too much of a pretty boy.
Okay, that doesn't look bad.
Yeah, that one's not bad.
If you go off of looks alone, I can maybe...
Slap some sideburns on that guy. It'll be all right.
If you go off of looks alone, I can maybe kind of see it. I just...
He doesn't look deranged enough.
That outfit there doesn't really make him look like a tough guy there.
Wearing like some Ralph Lauren stuff. I just don't think he has the... He has charisma, but I don't think he has like the rough, tough...
The gruff.
Gruff. Yeah. Synonym of...
He's not the grit.
Wolverine. The grit. Yeah.
That's the word I'm looking
and
for.
And maybe he does. Mm-hmm. Maybe I'm not giving him enough credit. Yeah. Whoever is casting Henry Cavill, if he gets cast, if he auditions great, do it. I just... That would not in a million years be anyone that I think would be a good pick for that, though, without seeing it.
Yeah, when you show the pictures, some of those pictures, I'm like, I don't know.
Is there any cameos or anything you wish were in this movie?
Cameos I wish were in this
movie? Or, like, things that they would have done? Because I have some.
I think I wouldn't have minded to have seen some non-Marvel cameos. Like, I know this is a Marvel movie. Mm. But I think with how wacky we were getting, we referenced pop culture all the time.
Mad Max.
We referenced Mad Max, and he joked about IP infringement. I think it would have been kind of cool to have, like, had Voldemort at, like, the lair at the end. Like, you know, we're talking about Harry Potter. I think that, like, having some non-Marvel stuff could have opened the door for some really funny shenanigans.
It's getting really silly with it. Yeah.
My thought was, when he was going through and getting, like, trying to find a Wolverine, he should have went into the cartoon.
Yeah.
X-Men 97.
That would have been cool.
And try to get...
Like Marvel What If.
Yeah.
That would have been nice.
Like, I mean, they're making new episodes for X-Men 97. So, like, you
just... It's apparently really
make
good.
One
I watched
make
it. It's so good.
Like
it's
a
really
30-second clip with Deadpool in it.
My problem is it's been so long since I've watched the original X-Men cartoon.
I've never seen it.
I remember
jump into
liking
it.
The original X-Men cartoon.
Yeah, I need to go back and rewatch it, and then I want to get caught up on 97.
Yeah.
Really I saw that Hugh Jackman recreated the Wolverine looking at the picture meme, though.
Yeah that was pretty good.
And
yeah,
I've decided that's my new favorite form of meme is actors imitating internet memes. So we have like the Spider-Man people pointing at each other meme, and now we have Hugh Jackman like looking
with
the picture.
Yeah.
Like, I love that.
Yeah, it was cool.
So you said, did you say your favorite part?
Then we got the scenes. Yeah.
Thank you.
Oh, the scenes?
The Marvel your scenes. Favorite
yeah.
scene.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you said the TVs.
Yeah, the little montage of like nostalgia.
Nostalgia time.
Did you get to say yours, Jonah?
No, I'm trying to think of it. I think if I had to pick one, they're kind of basic picks because they're all like, you know, fight scenes. But the opening fight is so like creative and funny with his corpse, the adamantium bones.
Did you see NSYNC? Is it NSYNC?
Yeah.
NSYNC changed like the YouTube thing to like include
Deadpool
Wolverine in parentheses after the title.
Nice.
That
was so good. Like,
soundtrack was fire in this.
It was really good.
It was really good.
Very like Guardians of the Galaxy esque.
Iris, the Goo Goo Dolls, you know, classic.
I don't know why. It's, Madonna, I think it was there at the end. I don't know why. The way they had edited it, it sounded like the Robot Unicorn Adult Swim game we'd always play.
Yeah, you whispered that to me. I'm like,
"Find your dreams, it'll be no shame." I could have swore that was it, and I was like,
"Whoa,
are they actually playing this?" And then I realized it was not that song, and I was kind of sad.
Dang,
but it fit really well though.
I thought it was a banger in that fight scene.
Such respect. I should look up who did that later because I need to look it up for Guardians as well. I have so much respect for people who can pick songs, like actual songs and music, and be like, this will fit perfectly with this scene.
This scene, yeah.
Like, and that has to be done fairly early in the writing process, I'd imagine, for a movie like this and Guardians to like incorporate it around the music. It's such a cool talent. Like, I respect that.
I did laugh at the beginning where it's like, he's going to get Logan's corpse.
He's like, how are we going to do this respectfully? We're not.
Yeah.
That's the only way to handle that, though.
Yeah, I do a joke about it.
I'm like, man, they're about to undo Logan here. I'm like, uh-oh.
Nope, they're not.
Yeah, I think that's the best way to handle that because Logan is one of my favorite movies, like, period.
So you don't want to ruin what that movie what it ended with.
And I don't think they did.
They didn't. No. They made it...
It's like you were so disrespectful that it was still respectful and it was really funny.
I'm like, you know what? Yeah. Only Deadpool can make this work.
Yeah,
it's true.
If it was a hilarious. Serious movie and they like, you know, dug up the corpse, I would be a little mad. But
they did it very well. Yeah. So that was favorite scenes. We've done a lot of positive talking, and I want to keep the positive talking going. I think it's good that we keep getting off on tangents. I feel like when we go off on a bunch of tangents, it's because we really like the film.
Yeah.
When we're like, all right, let's get this podcast episode done. Like, that's when we tend to not like it as much. So I think it's good we're going off on tangents. I do want to talk about, though, like, did anyone have a least favorite scene? Because this movie was not perfect. Had plenty of problems. We just kind of ignored them because we liked the movie. Did anyone have a least favorite scene? And I don't mind to go first again if you guys don't have one.
I would say, like, there's a couple times where it felt like the main threat was, like, changing. It seemed.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
It's like, I don't know which one's the main villain in this story. And it turns out to be, whatever, the bald lady.
Yeah, it kind of. Like, she ended up being the final one, but you're right.
It's like, are we fighting this other guy in the suit that you thought was Brendan Fraser at first?
Or? He looked like Brendan Fraser when they were in the when they were in the interrogation scene. It looked like Brendan Fraser lost a lot of weight, and I was like, is that? And my brain was like, my brain was telling me it wasn't, but yet it was. And I was like, Cole, that's not Brendan Fraser, right?
I'm like, no, it's not.
It's like, no.
I didn't see what you were seeing.
I don't know. But okay, yeah, the villain kind of changed. So you did that. That's a critique. Did you have a least favorite like scene or moment, or just like the villains in general?
Not really. I mean, really, the villains I didn't mind. Like the villains, like even like you know, I thought like, what was the girl's name? The female Professor X.
Oh. I looked her up because I
think it was Cassandra Nova.
Cassandra Nova.
Yeah.
She at first I didn't like her, and then she grew on me. It's like,
two's cool. I don't know. Evil Professor X is really cool.
Oh, I've never actually seen comic book Evil Professor X, but I mean, like, that's kind of wacky.
She's creepy.
Kind of cool.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
That's the.
I don't know too much about her. But, like, the actress who played her.
Yeah, at first, I didn't like it. I like her. And then I'm like, she's growing on me.
She looked so familiar, but I didn't know.
I thought
what
it was
I'd
Joey King at first.
A little bit. Oh, yeah. Really? Like, I couldn't place this. We were driving home. I was like, who's the person playing Hot Professor X?
Yeah.
And Cole's like, hot. And I said, yeah, she was, I don't know what it was.
It's
the
confidence.
She was doing it for me. I don't know what it was.
I can see that. It's the, you know, it's the confidence.
You know? I don't think I'd want her to reach through my head like she did.
Yeah, no, that was a little weird. Brain.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was a lot.
It was a lot. But no, yeah. Her being the final villain in the last
like that
30
sense,
minutes
was,
of the
know,
movie was a little odd. I'll give you that.
Well, I think it made sense. Like, it just seemed like it went back and forth on, like, who am I supposed to be, like, seen as the main threat here?
Yeah, it's like Evil Professor X, and then it had the TVA, and then it had the Deadpool.
And the TVA was, like, just, you know, a comedy person at the end, and then he was...
Yeah.
See, I didn't like it because I felt like we defeated the villain, and now we're going to go defeat the main villain.
Yeah.
And then they were like, hey, I know you just beat her, but now you got to beat her again. And I didn't love that.
It's like faces and a boss. It's like
kind of, yeah. Like, I didn't love that. I would have much preferred to have seen something happen to her, or like her to join sides with them, or like Cole. I don't know why they didn't bring in Professor X. Like, people I would have loved to have seen. I mentioned that in the car. I would have loved to have seen Patrick Stewart make an appearance as Professor X, because in Deadpool's universe, in theory,
he's dead.
Oh no, he did die, didn't he, in Logan?
But
The
timeline's weird. It doesn't really add up. I was going to talk about that later,
You can't think about... Yeah, that's another thing I put in here, is if we're going by the Logan timeline, in the Logan movie, almost all of the mutants are dead.
Mm-hmm. And wasn't Professor X, like, briefly in 2? Like, when they're in the mansion, he's like, we need another X-Men. And then, Professor X closes the door or something,
It immediately falls apart when you think about it. 100%.
Yeah.
And they said that they confirmed that Logan is their universe's anchor being.
Mm-hmm.
So this would imply that this movie takes place post-Logan.
Yeah, because it's starting to deteriorate.
Yeah. I guess the only thing I can think of is, like, maybe this movie takes place before Logan and they're grabbing Deadpool early. I don't know.
Maybe.
I really...
That's tough.
Because, like... The way I understand, like,
as soon as you think about it, it doesn't work.
In Loki, those things, the thing that he stole, the Tempad, can go through time.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe, like, you're right, maybe he goes to the future when he dies or something.
Yeah.
But then why wouldn't he just go to his... Yeah, you're right. It falls apart if you think about it at all.
Either way, though, that's okay. I would have liked to have seen Patrick Stewart make an appearance and then maybe had a, like... come together moment with Cassandra, be like, hey, you know, I always felt like I had a twin, or I love you, and like had a moment. Like, I would have liked to have seen that instead of like Cassandra boss fight part 2.
Yeah.
Which was a beam battle. I hate beam battles, and I know it wasn't actually a beam battle.
Yeah.
But it was essentially a beam battle. Does that make sense when I say beam battle? Yeah. Yeah. I hate those. Like when it's like willpower, you can't show it, so it's just people screaming, like grunting, like Dragon Ball style. Never been a fan of those. So I hate that like the big final fight of the movie was that.
Because there was some really cool fight scenes in this movie.
Yeah, the Deadpool fight scene was really cool.
The one with all the Deadpools is
awesome fight scenes in this movie. Yeah, so I think it would have been really cool to have, I don't know, not ended on, well, it was an emotional scene, but what was essentially holding hands.
Yeah.
My least favorite scene, though, was I put the three scenes Vanessa's in. Because Deadpool 2, you said you haven't seen Deadpool 2, right?
Not all the way through.
Deadpool 2 has a shockingly, and Deadpool 1 a little bit, has a shockingly good, like, romance story to it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, with him coping with loss and, like, making the relationship work. So I hated that we started off this movie with them having broken up. And then Cassandra felt kind of shallow, and I didn't know how to feel about her, so I wish they either would have had them stay together and then just not talked about their relationship, or say they broke up and then just not had her in the movie. I feel like her scenes didn't add anything. If anything, it made me just kind of like not enjoy the scenes that she was in, trying to think about their relationship. So that was mine. Did you have a least favorite scene or moment?
I can't really think of one. I mean, there wasn't really one that I like straight up didn't like, really, you know? I mean,
there's a lot to like in this movie.
There's a lot to like. Like, I'm like,
I mean, him interviewing for the Avengers was just golden.
That was good. Honestly, like, I'm trying to think. I mean, if I had to pick a scene that was my least favorite, maybe it was that, because it felt like it was. I mean, it is setting up his like, oh, I want to matter kind of, but it I still like the Happy Hogan cameo, but that one almost seemed more like, oh, let's get an MCU thing in there now that we can, almost kind of maybe.
Oh, I don't know. The sacred timeline is implied to be the sacred timeline because it's like the one where they beat Thanos and Iron Man died.
Yes. It's like it was something like that. And Loki kind of explains it. I don't know if you've seen Loki.
So, yes, I did. Or season one, at least. Hear me out here.
Okay.
So the sacred timeline is the one where they beat Thanos. Iron Man dies. Mm-hmm. Spider-Man is like kind of somewhat taking his place. And like we're moving on with the current phase, right?
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
That's where he was interviewing.
Mm-hmm.
But yet then they say later, we're pulling you from this universe, the one where Logan happens, and going to bring you to the sacred timeline.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense how he got there for the interview.
I mean, unless it's just like a total fourth wall break, like, hey, I'm trying to get into the MCU.
Yeah, I think it's one of those things where it's like, he's just Deadpool. Did he walk?
Once again, I don't care this movie. Because of what this movie is, I don't really care. But like, it does.
I think that's more
now that I'm looking at it, it's like,
how did he get there?
Oh, yeah. It's really messy.
You're looking at like the time frame that it was in 2018, so that would have been about a year. I think about a year after it came out, or Deadpool came out, because it came out in probably a year or two. Mm-hmm. So that'd probably be like, hey, get him in the MCU. I like to think of it that way. Like,
so
hey,
you're saying
I'm trying to get into the MCU.
There's
here.
A timeline running adjacent to the sacred timeline that's almost the sacred timeline.
Yes.
Just like a minor difference.
Yes.
Like, I don't. Yeah, and I guess you could look at it that way. I
just think it was more of a fourth wall break kind of thing.
It is. And once again,
like trying to be like, hey, let me in here. Like, we're not letting you in, dude. Sorry, you don't matter.
Yeah.
Yeah. This movie's so goofy. It doesn't matter. Yeah,
it's like it's Deadpool also. It's like a kind of his thing to kind of, I don't know.
Yeah. I do wish maybe a tad bit more attention had been paid to that, but that's just me being nitpicky.
Yeah.
On that note,
it was goofy fun.
I'll go ahead and just rapid fire my four. I only had four dots of like complaints on my notes as we were leaving. I'm glad Cole was willing to drive that way. I could type them out, because I had to bring a notepad to Twisters.
Yeah.
But the movie felt a little bit bloated on the runtime, and part of that was because the pacing was wacky. I think the movie was only like 2 hours long.
Yeah. I mean, it
felt
it felt like we were like dead sprint, like we're going bang bang bang, and then we started slowing down towards the end, started chugging along, like,
yeah,
we're overstaying our welcome a little bit here.
It's got a rough like last third that I think could have been trimmed down. So a bit bloated, pacing was wacky. We're two different points though. Very poor romance. I talked about that with Vanessa. And then my other one, this is nitpicking, a wizard ring shouldn't be able to leave the void, because the void doesn't exist on the material plane.
Yeah, and
Like it exists like outside of time.
The portals go through space, not time or dimensions.
If I understood Loki correctly, the void exists in like a pocket outside of the universe, outside of reality, kind of.
Yeah, and then in Doctor Strange too, he couldn't go through. The America girl had to go through dimensions. He couldn't do any of that either.
Yeah. To have the wizard ring just like conveniently.
Yeah,
take them back to the universe. Yeah,
exactly to where we needed to be too. But, like, you know, the Cassandra knew
Marvel sparkly thing though.
Cassandra not only knew like what universe they were from, she knew exactly where in the timeline and where the villain had set up his machine underneath the subway. So
yeah,
that's once again, that's nitpicking. I loved this movie. I am willing to put on my suspension of disbelief. I don't just have a hat for this movie, like a full. Like heavy armor plate mail, like, suspension it's of disbelief of plate mail.
Like, yes.
Like if it was like a more serious Marvel movie, oh yeah, nitpick it. For what it is though, Deadpool, where it's not supposed to be,
those things
it doesn't just, take itself seriously.
They just bounce off for this one, yeah.
And I'm like, you know what? I'll allow it.
So we went over favorite scenes, we went over least favorite scenes. Is there just any other scenes you guys want to talk about? I think the fight scenes were really good. Joni mentioned that earlier.
I like those.
And what I loved about, with the exception of the TVA, the big fight scene at the end, I think I'd need to...
With all the Deadpools?
I guess not before that. So when they're about to leave the void.
Oh, with when they're fighting...
Cassandra's men. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I need to watch the movie again. That's the thing. I feel like this is a movie I can watch 3 times, and I'm going to find something every time, which is awesome.
You catch the little Greatest Showman... Song.
Yes. You know what? I would have missed it if you hadn't called it out, though. You called it out, like, but that was really good. I felt like most of the villains in that final fight weren't nameless nobodies. Almost all of them, and I need to rewatch it to double confirm this, were from the franchise somewhere. It was a lot of X-Men people, but like they weren't just like nobody hobos that were
devil
just,
fellow and
yeah.
That was supposed to be
Nightcrawler.
It wasn't Nightcrawler. It's like his villain, right?
Yeah, Nightcrawler, something like blue. That. So.
Nightcrawler's daddy or something.
I think Nightcrawler has a like nemesis that's red. I might be misremembering that, Matt. If you ever watch this, please correct us. But yeah, it seemed like every person for the most part was from a franchise somewhere. They weren't just thrown in like body doubles.
Yeah, back person. There was like a Psylocke woman like grabbed X-23 or something. Yeah.
And then I keep seeing that apparently the Deadpool fight scene, a lot of the Deadpools are
Aziel. Aziel is the red Nightcrawler.
Okay.
Okay.
Gotcha. But, I would have never known that. I just knew that Nightcrawler had a guy that was very similar to him, but just red, because that's Marvel's thing. Fight yourself, but blue. Or, like, just different color. But, like, the scene where they're fighting all the Deadpools, I keep seeing, I've seen, like, 20 at this point, this Deadpool was actually Tom Holland's brother. This Deadpool was actually one of the Hemsworths wearing it. And I don't know if that one was true. That one was, like, it seemed like a lot of... The people were friends and family of the cast and crew and of Marvel family, like extended family.
Yeah.
They weren't just like, here's an open call, come show up in a Deadpool costume. It seems like they actually put some people who are important to the Marvel franchise in that scene, which I think is kind of cool.
Yeah. That's pretty cool. I like that.
Yeah. Man, a lot to love about this movie, a lot to love. If I rapid fire off my good things, I love just the big ones here. We broke the fourth wall a lot, but we had some fifth wall breaks, meaning like we're getting meta about the meta. So like the fact that like the crew at the end was like canned Marvel projects, that's not just breaking the fourth wall and acknowledging you're in a movie. That is like acknowledging that you're in a movie and acknowledging the franchise that made it and then the executives making decisions.
Yeah.
I love that.
Getting deep, yeah.
Yeah. I think that that's
so good. It's a bunch of characters that deserved better.
Yeah. And then I think everything else on here we talked about. So, I mean, I think I've said what I need to say about this movie. It's great.
Yeah.
I loved it.
I mean, I'm trying to think. The only, like, nitpicks I have, like, they're, like you said, the only things I didn't like, they're, like, super nitpicky nitpicks. Like, the nitpickiest of nitpickiest nitpickers.
Would you say they're nitpicks?
They're nitpicks.
Okay.
But, like, I'm trying to think of ones,
just
like,
making sure.
The final fight with the Deadpools.
Yes.
It looks like it was one shot. And then in the middle of it, it cuts to the blind lady.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, I wish I was deaf. And like, you know, it was funny, but I was like, man, I feel like it kind of interrupts the one shot. It would have been way cooler if it just like was one shot. That's very nitpicky.
I didn't view it as one shot, but like, you're right. I think it was kind of implied as that.
Like this side-scrolling the entire time.
Yeah, side-scrolling shot.
You're right.
Side-scrolling beat-em-up style.
Yeah. I don't know. Like I said, the rest of them are just nitpicky stuff.
I mean,
like,
some of the CG.
I think like the location, like it's a cool idea, yeah. But you know, a lot of the movie is just in like a wasteland, I guess. But like,
mm-hmm. Yeah,
it didn't bother me that much. But if I had to nitpick something, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I would nitpick the CG a little bit.
I thought it looked good
in general. There's a couple times I thought, and it could have been like we saw this in 3D. I don't know if it was the 3D glasses. It's like screwing with me or what?
Yeah.
It like, said this had a production budget of $200 million. So that's really, in the grand like, scheme of things, not that much.
When it was like more in particular when they ripped Evans's skin off his body.
Yeah, it's a little goofy.
That one, I mean, it's a goofy scene. It looked goofy. That was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Valid. I thought that the CG looked better in this than several other Marvel projects I've seen, which I thought was shocking because I knew they didn't have a ton of money for this one as much as for other ones. The fight choreo was really good. Like they tried to use as little CG, it felt like, for some of the fights, like especially the fights between Deadpool and Wolverine. Mm-hmm. Whoever choreographed the fights, I applaud you. Those were really good.
Yeah, I feel like they just had a lot of fun with the choreography too. Like a lot of, I don't know, just fun stuff. Like when like Wolverine falls on top of him and then he pulls out the guns, like Deadpool's on him and goes like, bang, 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 bang. Yeah. I don't know. It was just funny stuff.
It was pretty good.
Yeah.
Man. Good movie. Yeah. Good movie.
We haven't had a good one in a while.
Yeah.
Oh, which is so sad to think about. I mean, well.
Probably our last good one was Turtles. That was almost a year ago.
I like Turtles. That's that new one.
The animated one?
Yeah.
Yeah, I like Turtles.
Is it like that YouTube video?
I like Turtles.
Turtles.
I think the other. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, I was no. Go ahead. I was just gonna say Turtle Mayhem got an 83. Spider. Yeah, that was the last one that we reviewed. Well, you're right.
That's positive.
Everything else went.
Yeah, we had a bad streak there. Well, you guys had a bad streak. Yeah. I remember
Jonah taking credit for what Josh did.
I remember hopping on for finance a phrase and being like, "Man, this was a stinker,
dude." Dang. If I wasn't preparing for school to start, I would have loved to have written a script where we had like got Josh to come in for like 5 minutes and then had like the Doctor Strange portal open and Jonah walk through and it's like alternate timeline Jonah like takes over like the movie rubric. I think that would have fit in well with the theme of the show.
Josh lead to that this movie was a better Multiverse of Madness than Multiverse of Madness was.
Oh yeah. I was gonna say actually people you said earlier people were complaining about, you know, there's a ton of like cameos. And I think because it's like Deadpool, like all of the cameos, like if all like in Multiverse of Madness, I feel like the scene with the Illuminati, it is kind of like, okay, I feel like we kind of just took a detour to see some cameos. But this movie, I feel like all of the cameos are like,
they make sense for the tone of this movie.
Yeah, it's a comedy. So all of the cameos are fuel for Deadpool to make jokes and do meta stuff, you know. So I feel like even though they're, you know, it's just, I feel like it makes a lot more sense here. And it doesn't feel like, oh, we're like forcing cameos. It feels like, oh, yeah, Deadpool would, this would happen in a Deadpool movie with the multiverse.
Which it was a long stretch, and I've said it, you know, I think I've said it on the podcast before, of like rumors, like cameos that people wanted. People wanted a Spider-Man cameo. They wanted Andrew Garfield's Spider-Man to be with Deadpool.
Oh, and that would have been good.
Imagine the back and forth between Deadpool and that version of Spider-Man.
Yeah,
that would have been good.
Would have been really good, yeah. I think there's a lot of Spider-Man Deadpool comics that a lot of people really like.
People will, to use Elena's terminology, like ship them pretty often. And yeah. Either a bromance or something like that, like kind of pair them together. So
yeah, I think that would work really well. If they wanted to do that, obviously I'm not going to say no to it.
It would have. It is kind of shocking that they didn't get.
But I think the whole running theme was like, remember all these failed.
Yeah, so you think they didn't want to bring them in because they're too successful right now?
Yeah, they don't want. It doesn't fit with the tone then because. Mm-hmm.
It's valid.
Like no one. I mean, yeah, it works for like an Avengers movie because these are all well established. These are guys that either you forgot about or just got done dirty and didn't get the movie they deserved.
Speaking of getting done dirty, I was thinking about it this morning, like the Sabretooth fight.
Yeah, that was quick.
Sabretooth got done dirty. Like, I was like,
oh, you guys have been waiting years for this, and he gets buried.
Finally, are getting this fight. One move.
Yeah.
Like oh,
which is how that should play out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's weird to me. Some people love Sabretooth. To me, he's just like, hey, what's he got going for him?
He's a big, burly guy.
Yeah, way worse claws, you know?
Yeah.
Not as cool as Wolverine.
Yeah, not as cool.
Yeah, it was fun. I don't know. That scene just reminded me. The after credit scene was Deadpool catching a human torch, saying all that stuff. It was so surreal to watch Chris Evans talk like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like the Boy Scout. Man, potty mouth, dude.
Dang. It was so funny. Yeah.
That was a good post-credit scene. Like, I like that.
That was good. That was one of the few times I was like, I'm glad I stayed for the post-credit. Yeah, that was funny.
Like, these allegations of saying that I got the Human Torch killed.
That was funny. Man. All right. Well, I mean, I've said what I need to say.
Yeah.
Any final thoughts before we plug it into the rubric?
I don't think so.
Okay. Let's address something. I hope this isn't going to be something that would change regularly, but for a while, Cole and I, and Josh, when he was here, I think he voiced this as well. We talked about maybe changing the rubric just a little bit because we had plot, characters, direction, continuity, and enjoyment. And then regularly, very often, continuity falls under plot. And then we'd always talk about the audio. We'd always talk about visuals, and we kind of lump them together. And, you know, so, like, this might change again, bear in mind. But I think we're going to try it for this. So the new categories for this episode, we have plot, which includes things like continuity or nitpicks, you know, about this and that. Like, all of that can go under there. Characters, pretty straightforward. Like, how are the actors portraying the characters? Were they acted well? Do you think they were written well? Do you like the characters? Because sometimes you just, like, don't like a character. Visuals and audio, I think, are pretty self-explanatory. Visuals can be cinematography. It can be the CGI. It can be just how pretty and stylized it was. And that used to kind of be direction a little bit, but I think that it should have its own category. And then audio, we thought, should have its own category too, because we always talk about the soundtracks and the sound design of movies. I think it's good to give them its own category. Audio, to me, feels like the weakest of them on here, but I do think that the audio kind of deserves its own slot, unless you guys think of another thing to put there.
Nope.
And then last but not least, enjoyment. We've talked about in the past weighting enjoyment. I don't think we should weight it for right now, but I think it should be just me its own category, but enjoyment's just going to stay the same.
We're just going to keep saying it's the most important, even though it's not really doing much different.
Even though it's not doing much different. Yeah, it's despite the other four categories, how did you feel about the movie? So, okay. All right.
Gotcha.
So with that being said, I'll start us off. I'll do plot. I'm gonna give plot a 4. All of my nitpicks have to do with like continuity and like the Vanessa romance scenes and stuff like that. I would say plot for me is hands down the weakest part of this movie.
Yeah,
but because of the nature of the movie, it doesn't matter that much. In a different film, the continuity issues would earn this a 3, but for what this film is, easily a 4. Consider just giving it a 5 to be nice, but I think it's not a perfect movie. That's where I'm going to put my biggest ding. Plot from me is getting a 4. Cole?
I would agree with that. I'm also going to give it a 4. Yeah, there's plot holes, but, you know, for what this movie is, like you said, it's, you know, not gonna rail on a Deadpool movie that breaks the fourth wall and the fifth wall in this movie. And, you know,
I hope in Deadpool 4 they break the sixth wall. Yeah. I don't know what that is.
I hope they figure it out. Or I hope they have like someone like hidden
in the movie theater.
In the movie theater.
There's like an actor.
Yeah.
Like something. Deadpool looks out into the audience and like he stands up and responds to the screen. That'd actually be so, if you're watching Hollywood, Ryan.
That would be the most elaborate thing.
That would be so good.
Sign me up to play a Deadpool.
I will. That'd be so cool. I don't think they could keep that. Big pen / tangent. I was watching the Hot Ones episode. Did you watch that?
Which one?
But the one with Hugh Jackman and Ryan Reynolds?
Yeah. Is that new?
Within the past week.
I haven't seen it yet. No.
I love Hot Ones, but what Ryan Reynolds talked about on that show, something they almost did, I wish they would have. He said they had created posters and marketing for a movie called like Alpha Cop.
I heard about this.
And they even like had shot some test footage for it, and it was going to just look terrible. Like, it was not going to look like a good movie. And then, like, 10 minutes in, they would, like, kill off the people, and it would turn into Deadpool and Wolverine.
That
would
have been hilarious.
He said the reason they didn't do it is because he was like, what if it leaked right before the movie came out? It just kind of killed the whole joke. I so wish they would have done it, though. That would have been so cool.
I just imagine, like, opening week. You look at, like, the financials, like, opening weekend at, like, the opening day has, like, no money. And then, like, word gets out, and, like, the next few days, it just shoots up. Everyone
I'd just be, like, sitting on my couch on a Friday, and I'd read, like, Alpha
Cop. Wolverine out, yeah.
I feel like some people would try to hide it well. Like, you'd get some people like IGN that'd be like, trust us, you need to go see Alpha Cop.
Yeah.
But I would quickly be ruined by the internet.
Yeah.
So I wish they'd done that. So, okay, Cole, you're giving to 4. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, but I thought of that and I feel like that was worth mentioning.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. 4 for plot for me.
Okay. Jonah?
I'm going to give it.
There's the meme face. Yeah, that's it.
A. I'll give it a 4. I'll give it a 4.
Y'all, that build up just to...
Yeah. I'm actually going to say 3. I'm going to say 3. I changed my mind.
Man,
I'm
pretty much 3. Hated this movie.
It's hard to phone 8 on a... So I don't blame you for the 4. Phone 8's a fun word. I forgot. I didn't know I had that word in me.
Fun. Okay.
Phone 8. I can't even say like it. Phone buzz 8. On like a Z, like a Z, or like a V, like a...
Like stay on a...
Yeah, on like a sound. It's called phone 8.
Yeah, it is harder.
Call that buffer.
But, That's... I'm going to give it a 3 because I think a lot of the enjoyment, like you said, obviously there's continuity stuff. But I can't really knock it that much. I feel like a lot of the enjoyment is more from the characters and like the action. I feel like the plot of like, you know, they weren't bad. Mm-hmm. Like the character arcs weren't bad of like Deadpool wanting to matter and everything. Wasn't bad or anything, but it just wasn't like, I don't think that was the shining part of the movie. If I don't know if I'm making any sense here.
No, totally. Yeah. I almost gave it a 3 because we talked about that bloat and the pacing, especially in that last third and changing of the villains. Maybe if I hadn't liked the movie, maybe I am being too subjective.
I mean, I think a 4. Sorry. I almost said 4, like you said.
I'm going to keep it a 4 because I've mulled on a 4. I almost gave it a 3.
Yeah, I agree with what you said, though. I think plot's like probably the weakest part.
Yeah, at
probably.
The end of the day, I think that plot is where this movie struggles the most. Does it struggle enough to knock it down to a 3 for me? It very easily could. If this was any other movie, easily would be a 2 or a 3.
Yeah.
But because of how this movie did not want to take itself seriously, I'm going to respect that.
Yeah, it makes sense. Makes sense.
I'm not going to knock it off for like the continuity issues. I'm mainly knocking it off for like the pacing getting a little weak and
a little wonky. Yeah.
Yeah. So, okay. So we have a 4-4-3. Cole, why don't you start us off with this next one? Characters.
5.
5.
Everyone was great in this. It was like there was not a single character that I can really say anything like bad about. Even Peter was great.
Peter was great.
With his weird chain that. He has connected. That hurts when you tug on it.
That's so good. That was hilarious. I'm also going to say 5. Like I said, I think that was one of the strongest parts. Everyone gave me a smile.
I'm also easily a 5. Yeah, yeah. It's hard not to. With the exception of Vanessa, everyone in this movie is just there to have fun and to be goofy.
Vanessa's just like, you know, a very...
throwaway character. Yeah,
like,
yeah.
She's just there. She exists, but like you're not paying attention.
Yeah, like I think... And what I really like more than anything is in addition to having... all of these characters come back for these roles, it didn't feel like anyone phoned it in.
No, everyone was
having a great time.
Like everyone was just like, I think Ryan Reynolds may have had a pep talk like, listen, guys, we don't need this to be super serious. It's going to be goofy. The fans are going to be happy to see you.
Mm-hmm.
Just go out and do your thing.
I felt like every single person who had dialogue gave it 100% when they were shooting their scene. And that's rare. In a movie that wants to be taken seriously, it's even less rare in a movie, almost unheard of in a movie as goofy as this. This movie is essentially a scary movie.
Yeah.
Kind of. But everyone brought their A game. So,
It reminds me of like the little clip that, or the quote that Deadpool says in there, like, oh, Wolverine's wearing an outfit like he's not ashamed of being a superhero movie.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh,
20 years to get a comic accurate suit.
Yeah, get the cowl. Yeah.
The cowl
looked really good.
I like the cowl. Some people seem like goofy. I'm like, I thought it looked awesome.
I thought it looked
good. We
waited
so long to get an actual live action Wolverine suit.
Yeah, I think it was great. Yeah.
Some people want to hate on the movie, and that they're allowed to. They're allowed to.
But they're allowed to be wrong. But
I mean, you're wrong.
Yeah.
You know?
I agree. Characters, 5. Okay, 5's across the board. Jonah, start us off with this next one. Jonah, visuals.
Visuals.
You're the first person to rank a visual category on the movie rubric. This is groundbreaking.
This is exciting. Right, I'm putting this on my resume.
Yeah, don't mess it up.
I'm going to give visuals.
Before you say your thing, keep in mind it's not just CG.
Yes.
It's cinematography. For me, I'm lumping like fight choreo into this as well.
Yeah.
Like it's kind of all the things that like how a movie looks that a director would handle. This is just direction broken up a little bit better.
So yeah.
Take that however you will.
I'm going to give it a 4.
Okay.
Give it a 4. Only knocking it because, like I said, I think just like the environment of the void isn't the most like fascinating thing most of the time. A lot of times just like, oh, there's in some random forest or a field.
It's a
most of the movie. Yeah, but like the fight choreography is awesome. They had a lot of fun with it, like the them throwing Wolverine's bones at people. The car fight scene was hilarious.
Mm-hmm.
Very splattery and fun. But other than that, I mean, I would say four, just, you know, like I said, because of that. And then, you know, I mean, the, like, cinematography-wise, like, camera movement-wise, it doesn't do anything too crazy besides, like, you know, like, the pan shot at the end, you know? So I give it a four. It's still really good, but I want to get... not enough for me to say five. It didn't blow my balls off or anything.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, I mean...
I'm kind of glad.
It's not
I'm
like
glad
Dune.
It didn't.
Yeah.
Yeah. For visuals, I'm actually... I'm a five here. I think that opening, from the moment... The movie kicked off with this first fight scene with him using the bones in super
great
creative
scene.
Ways, like in the slow-mo. Yeah. And then I know you don't like 3D. I will be the first to admit, I don't think this movie utilized 3D to the best of abilities. Like, I've seen some movies that, like, I hate that I can't go see it again without 3D.
Yes.
But, like,
yeah.
This one, the 3D wasn't necessary, but it was nice from times. It wasn't, and what I really appreciate about it is it wasn't overdone. Sometimes when they just convert these movies to 3D, they overdo it.
Like, ooh.
Never felt ooh. Like, yeah, I never felt like it was overdone. I, that opening fight scene with the, I don't know what that is either.
Can we make that part 3D, Jessica? Yeah, Jonah reaching out into the screen.
I am not talented enough to do 3D conversion, but Jonah, you have your degree in that, I think.
No way. I'm, no idea how to do that.
But yeah, no, like I just feel like the fight choreo was really well done in this movie, and $200 million seems like a lot, but for Hollywood, that's really not as near as much money as it sounds like.
Yeah.
Do you guys, side note, do you guys see that this, like, in the opening, like, weekend made more than the Marvels did during its whole runtime?
Well, it's done better than that. I took a screenshot of...
It surpassed it in, like, record time. Like,
yeah, I think it's its biggest R-rated movie.
Yeah, Deadpool yeah. Wolverine wins domestic box office with $205 million. Biggest global R-rated opening weekend ever of $438.3 million. So...
It's doing nice. All right for itself.
It's doing pretty great.
Yeah. It's on its first week, right?
Yeah, like, it's going to be around for a bit.
Thursday will be 1 week. So, like, this movie is smashing records, and it deserves it. I think, for me, visuals are a five. Every now and then, maybe something didn't look perfect. The skin, you're right, looked maybe a little bit goofy.
Yeah.
But, like, all things considered, I thought that Ryan and the cinematographers and the directors, they did a really good job making this movie look good, working with what they had to work with.
Yeah.
And then a really big thing for me, once again, a huge plot point for me, was that big fight scene at the end of The Void. And then again with Deadpool, I didn't feel like there was just, like, no-named people getting gibbed in the background, which you see so often in Marvel movies. Like,
yeah, just like, here's a big army, but it's just a bunch of jobbers out there.
Yeah, yeah, I just felt like every fight scene was impactful and had weight. And like, so for me, visuals is a five. So, Cole?
I'm also going to go a five. I think some of, like, what I've seen, like, would be, like, kind of get goofy looking was probably the 3D.
Could have been, not been, yeah.
So I'm like, I'll... If I, you know, watch it after it comes to streaming or something, and it, like, still looks goofy, then I will redact my statement. But I'm gonna go with five for
when
right
we
now.
Do the year in review.
Yeah,
you'll
like. I apologize. It really didn't look,
it didn't
that,
look
good.
That good. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I'm gonna go with five though because I'm, you know, have the 3D variable in there.
Okay. All right. I'll kick us back off again here. Audio. This movie didn't have a bunch of neat audio designs. Like, we talked about Twister kind of making stuff feel like it was flying across the theater.
Yeah.
But I don't know if it really had much of a moment to kind of do that with this film.
Yeah.
But the soundtrack was phenomenal.
Yeah. Yeah.
We had a problem with this movie again. AMC. I'm sick and tired of this. I really am. It was missing, like, an audio channel again.
I was really worried when the trailers were playing. It sounded worse than the trailers. Like, I'm like, I can barely hear the song in the background of the trailer.
It's quiet.
Yeah. I went out and said something to an employee.
I wonder if you were doing that.
And it sounded a little bit better.
I thought the movie sounded better than the trailers.
But it
sure.
still was missing a good chunk of that punch. And I'm so mad, especially when I pay $18 for a ticket.
Yeah.
AMC, get your crap together. But that aside, the soundtrack choice for this film... phenomenal. Everything, and they didn't just do the Guardians thing where they just plug it in either. Like, they edited and split and spliced to where the music just lined up perfectly with whatever scene they were doing. That was an awesome audio for me as a five. Cole, so sorry.
I'm also gonna go a five. that soundtrack, fire. Chef's kiss. It's up there with some of the Guardian soundtracks.
I have to buy the vinyl for Deadpool and Wolverine. Yeah.
So good.
All right, Jonah.
Audio, I'm going to go with... I'm getting used to the new rubric. I'll go fire. There wasn't anything. I mean, wasn't anything wrong with it. You know?
He acts like we sprung this on him. We told
him. No, you told me.
We told him as we were leaving the theater. It's like, hey, how do you feel about this?
Yeah, my brain just.
Then he had an extra day to, you know, mull it
adjust
over.
To it. Yeah, you know. So I'm just a fool.
Okay. And the last category, Cole, kick us off. Enjoyment.
Can I give some? Can I give it over a five? Can I? Because I love this movie.
You can. I'm going to plug in a five. But if you want to say a number higher than a five, I will respect. That value,
it's above a five. I don't know exactly where I would pinpoint, but it's just fantastic. I had a good time from start to finish. Mm-hmm. Good times had. This was like a, you know, that people talk about. I saw someone comment on like some social media post of Endgame was the tribute for, you know, the first run of Marvel, mm-hmm. first 11 years of Marvel. No Way Home was a tribute to all the Spider-Man movies, mm-hmm. the live action. This was a tribute to the Fox movies and
the forgotten era
of superhero movies that, you know, deserved better, like I said.
I totally agree. Jonah?
I'm also going to go five. Like you said, this is like peak, like junk food superhero movie. This was just a jam. And I feel like it's one of those movies where you can like, when you're watching it, you can tell everyone that was making it, was having a pretty good time. And, I mean, I had a smile on my face pretty much the whole time.
Yeah. Did Jonah, what did you give visuals? Remind me. Did you give it a four or five?
You gave it a four.
I think I
gave
visuals a four. Four, okay. Yeah.
I want to make sure that wasn't a mistake on you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, it was four.
Okay, cool. I wanted to make sure that wasn't a mistake. All right. But totally agree. Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, that puts me at an 88%, Cole at a 96%, Jonah at an 88%, giving us a total score of 90.6. Round that up to 91%.
Got an A.
Yeah.
Good job, Marvel. That's how you do a Marvel movie.
Yeah. It's the first Marvel A we might have had on the podcast, right?
I think Guardians got an A. And Spider-Verse got an A.
Hold up a second.
Oh, yeah.
I was still had my cursor over here typing. When I hit enter and clicked off to somewhere else, it updated. It actually got a 93.
Oh, it's doing great.
Percent, so.
Let's see. Marvel movies. Guardians 3 got a 93.
And so that's appropriate, I think.
And Across the Spider-Verse got a 91.
Okay. All right. Ooh, I don't feel right. I take that back. I immediately feel like I put my foot in my mouth there. But yeah, I was okay. But yeah, no. An A. A solid A at that. Not even just like scraping by. Like, hey, you know.
In the top tier of our movies that we've reviewed on here.
Yeah. Let me go actually. I want to pull up Rotten Tomatoes. I was scrolling Facebook yesterday and I scrolled past IGN. First off, so glad I didn't see this before we saw the movie because I would have been so mad. I hate when studios just post stuff on Facebook and I have like I have not agreed to see your opinions on this. I always like to go in as blind as possible.
Oh, yeah, like a review score. Yeah
IGN gave it like a 7 out of 10, which I know is very memeable for IGN, but I thought they would have loved this movie because it's like comic books. Like, I feel like this would have been
there. IGN depends on what review they put on it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know?
It's sitting at a 79% with critics, 97% with audiences. And I think that's
fair.
Valid.
If you're critically looking at the movie, I think that's fair.
I can understand why a critic might not like this movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you have to be as objective as possible and take the fan service out of it, I can see that.
Yeah. So,
you know.
All right. Well, any closing thoughts before we wrap up this movie here, this podcast? We're at hour 13, so we're about pretty on par. I love this movie though. I feel like it flew by.
Yeah. Right. Marvel, go ahead.
No, I think it's like the running theme of like every time Marvel puts out like, you know, a stinker, it's like Marvel's done, and then they put out a banger. Marvel's back. And like,
they're just going to do what they're going to do at this point.
It just is what it is. Like, this was Ryan Reynolds, you know.
Baby.
Yeah, taking the reins and knowing how to do it better than Disney knows how to do it.
Yeah, I think one of Marvel's biggest problems is I don't know how well they have
keep pushing out product that's not good.
Like, well, part of that is I don't know if they've got someone creatively at the helm making sure that everything gels together well. Bob Iger, I think his name was like pump out content, pump out content, pump out content. Disney Plus, get those numbers up in it.
Yeah, I think we don't have to do with all this stuff.
You just brought in so many people with different opinions as to how a Marvel movie should look and feel and sound, and it really diversified the quality.
I
don't know if we're going back to that. I think Kevin Feige's directing the next couple Avengers movies.
It's the Russo brothers, people who did the Infinity War Endgame. They got to.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. What's Kevin Feige doing? I read he was doing something.
He was part of this movie.
He's like the head guy over everything. He's supposed to be the mastermind.
And that's the thing. They need someone like him. Maybe he's been doing it. He's just doing a sucky job. Maybe I'm giving him too much credit now. They need someone to sit at the top and be like, hey.
Map this thing out.
I know your movie. I know you really want to do this movie here about this thing. But like, you can, but like, let's look at the tone or let's set it. And we're not going to connect it to the overarching plot. Like, I don't know.
Yeah. What I've heard people say is kind of what happened. Is that, like you said, Bob Iger said, get everything on Disney Plus, and I think Marvel is kind of like, this wasn't really in our plan, so we have to kind of add a bunch of stuff into this, you know? And then I think the other thing was, I think the actor for Kang going to jail, I think derailed their plans a lot.
I think they recast him, like, within this week.
Oh,
right?
It's Robert Downey Jr. now.
Yeah, they're pretty much replacing him with Dr. Doom. Yeah.
Tropic Thunder, Robert Downey Jr.
Oh, boy.
Kang disguised as a Kang.
I think they're just
disguised as another Kang.
So good.
I think they're just dropping Kang and they're just going to do Doctor Doom now.
Yeah, I mean, you got to, because it's like, it sucks. Obviously, you don't plan for something like that.
Yeah, you can't really do anything
terrible.
About that. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's just unfortunate for Marvel.
Yeah.
This headline's just saying that he was recast, but it doesn't say who.
Who, yeah.
Fans are speculating Boyega. He'd
be pretty good. He'd be fine.
I mean, here's the problem, though.
I think there's ditching that.
They had Kang. That's fine. Like, you could have brought out, but you showed a bunch of other Kangs that were exactly Jonathan Majors.
Yeah, and then like, are we just gonna ignore now the giant army of Kangs and just go to Dr. Doom? We're just gonna pretend that. Oh,
give it this. What?
The camera is about out of battery.
Oh no.
Uh oh.
Oh darn.
I couldn't tell. There was an S word in recording.
How long ago did it say that?
Like right now. I caught it right when I did it. If we didn't get it, I can draw a little picture, picture of stick figure of us for the video. It'll be really funny.
It'll be like the, hey guys, Rick. This is
It says it's 7%.
This is future movie rubric. Jonah's going to illustrate the remainder of the podcast.
Oh, hi, guy. Yeah, I'll draw us later.
It says it has 7% left, so I don't know. I'll figure out how to splice these together. If I'm being honest, I don't know if I know how to put two 360 videos next to each other. I'm sure there's a way to do it.
I'm sure Premiere supports it, maybe.
Yeah, maybe. Probably not. I hate Adobe. Either way, we're back. Jonah, what were you saying? Talking about Kang and being recast. And
oh, yeah. Just going to like ignore the Kang plot line now? Yeah. You know, like, what are we going to do?
Yeah, I mean, that's because they introduced him in Quantumania. Like, he's our big bad good. And then Jonathan Majors has to be stupid and get in trouble. So, yeah, I mean, that's just one of those unfortunate real-life things that you just can't really do anything about.
Yeah.
So you just kind of have to just, like...
pivot.
I want to...
just roll with it and just act like it... He wasn't Jonathan Majors. What are you talking about?
Want him to do the Star Wars thing, and I want him to go back and reshoot parts of Quantumania with whoever
special
they
edition.
Recast.
Yeah,
get George Lucas on this thing.
Reskin Jonathan Majors as whoever the new person is, and then
Robert Downey Jr.
act like it never happened.
Yeah.
Just
maybe you have like the back of someone's head, like a double, and it's like Kang, and then Dr. Doom just comes and like shoots him in the head, and then he's like, yeah, I'm taking over now.
That'd be pretty good.
So they're going to give him the Snoke approach there.
Yes.
Now you build up and then you just, you know, pump him out.
I'm the real bad guy, Dr. Doom.
Oh, man. So. Okay. Well, hey, I love this movie. This gives me hope for future Marvel projects, which it sounds like Marvel, the last couple things I've read, is wanting to slow down a little bit.
They are, because that next thing coming out is that Captain America thing. That's not till February.
Fantastic Four next year, I'm pretty excited about.
So it sounds like they're slowing down. They're going back to maybe one, two movies a year, which I think is good. I did read that apparently test screening audiences did not like the new Captain America movie.
Well, they did crazy reshoots on it after that.
Imagine that.
Yeah.
So hopefully
you know what? They give them the Sonic treatment and they bully a whole studio into giving us what we want, which is a good Captain America movie that we haven't had in quite some time.
You know, a lot of people have drawn a lot of parallels to that recently, being like the Marvel fan base is so toxic, the Star Wars fan base is so toxic. But yeah, like that point you just made, a toxic fan base saved the Sonic franchise.
They bullied a whole studio. Yeah. It's the funniest thing.
Yeah. And the Sonic fan base, they're crazy, but they pulled that off well.
I'm part of the Halo fan base. I'm totally one of the people that bullied everyone who encourages the new Halo show. I'm glad it got canceled. I'm hoping we can get something good now. Yes, it can be toxic. There are people out there who are hating on the Acolyte simply because they're racist, or simply because, you know, they're upset that there's lesbian space, which is, those people exist. But I think if the overwhelming majority of your fan base is saying they don't like this thing because it doesn't feel like the thing that they love,
yeah,
acknowledge that. Like, you can still say, like with Eternals, the director from Eternals, I forgot who it was, said that they wanted to tell a different kind of Marvel story. That's fine. You can do that every now and then. And if people don't like it, it is what it is. I didn't hate Eternals, but like...
Probably no Eternals fans out there at the time, you know?
Yeah, but you gotta, I don't know, like...
All three of you that liked that movie.
Yeah.
I thought it was okay.
I haven't seen that one.
I'd give it like a C. Like, it was passable. I didn't hate it. Either way, wrapping it up, I hope that this slowing down the release of their movies, they put out higher quality movies each year.
Say, I will take... two to three really good movies a year, then five or six mid ones.
I want like one to two. Yeah. I just like, they announced, what was it, Doomsday and Secret Wars for the next Avengers movies.
Yeah.
And I read that and I was like,
well, it's even built.
I have no hype for it.
Secret Wars has been in the talk since since Quantumania.
I think they kind of ruined Secret Wars with I didn't even watch it. What was the Disney Plus show with all the scrolls?
Secret Invasion.
It's kind of a different thing.
Like, it's a different thing, but like, that's kind of like, I don't know. I feel like they've shot themselves in the foot by like trying to introduce elements of Secret Wars without actually doing Secret Wars.
I think they're different. I think there's a Kang Dynasty
also, that it's a movie that's happening. I don't know.
Well, I think if the way I understood it, is that it was going to be Kang Dynasty Secret Wars, and now it's Doomsday Secret Wars. Okay, I think so is how I understand
they're
it.
They're like, hey, listen, we can't be Kang around here.
Yeah, that's how I understand it. I could be wrong, but that's how I understood
RDJ
their Comic-Con thing.
He kicked it off, and he's got to, you know...
Got to bring it back.
Yeah, got to bring it back and save it.
We'll see. All right, well, if you've gotten this far, thank you for listening. Hopefully there's video on this part, and I don't just need to, like, splice in the audio over, like, a... If I can't get the video to work, Joan, I'm just going to have you doodle.
No, I was going to say, I'll draw the picture.
Like,
I'll
the
draw
three of us sitting at the table and put it in. Thank you for listening. What are we going to see next?
I don't know. Dude. Marvel, if you're watching this, I can get sideburns and you can put a wig on me and I could be Wolverine next if you don't want to have Hugh Jackman on anymore. So
you got Trap.
I second this.
Yeah.
Speak No Evil.
Both of those look great. I actually watched
Beetlejuice is coming out soon.
I actually watched the Speak No Evil, and I watched part of the Beetlejuice trailer too at the theater.
I'm intrigued by all these movies.
Yeah. So yeah, we've got a few things coming out. Stay tuned. If you like this, share it with your friends. Please, we appreciate that. And that's it, you guys. If you guys got no closing thoughts, what noise can I have Jonah make as we end here?
Wolverine noise.
Well, yeah. Would you make me your best Wolverine claws coming out of his flesh noise?
Yeah, okay.
Chink, chink.
Nailed it.
Yeah.